And Matt, we're live.
Howdy, Had. My name is Matt Mullenweg, and I'm very excited to be back on the Dragcast. I guess the second repeat attendee of the show. Last year was a lot of WordPress for me, partly leading the 3.8 release, which I was very proud to be an on-time release and some really good stuff in it. Most interesting, I thought, was the MP6 process, which led to the redesign of the dashboard and how that demonstrated how a plugin team could impact the core of WordPress. And I'm excited to see more of that in the future, 3.9 and beyond. So once again, I'm Matt Mullenweg, and the Dragcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
For the Dragcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders, ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly. We bring you your favorite Sand Channel alumnus, Brad Williams and Ray Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dragcast starts now.
Right now, we made it. We are live with Mr. Matt Mullenweg. Matt, man, thanks for coming on the show. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Dre, man, this was a fun road to get to this show today, wasn't it?
Oh, wow. Just a few peaks and valleys throughout the day. I'm a little mentally challenged, more than usual, in fact. Broken back over here, and you on a flight from hell, it sounded like. So, gosh, we're surely glad we made it. And, Matt, thank you. Thank you for joining us. Really excited to kick off another awesome episode.
Oh, cool. Man.
The things we do for WordPress. Yeah, I had a flight out to Seattle, and I quickly want to give a quick thanks to Mr. Ben Lowball, who was actually sitting over here on the floor smiling at me. It's funny because I did not expect to be in Seattle right now for the show. I actually thought I'd be at home, and then something came up last minute. But that's the beautiful thing about the WordPress community. I reached out to Ben, and he immediately said, absolutely, you can do the show from my house. Do you want me to pick you up from the airport? I mean, that's just how cool this community is. So I love it. I love everybody in it. And Matt, he deserves a raise.
Noted.
Great.
He agreed. He plus won that.
He plus won that. That's awesome. Well, again, Matt, welcome. I think that we should start off by talking about how awesome the new Dragcast app is. If you haven't tried it out, it was created by AppPress and it's out on the iPhone, so you need to go download that now. And Brad, if you can give a little background, it's coming out for Android soon too, from what I hear.
It is out for Android, so go to Android, Play Store, you can just search Dragcast, or go to the App Store, search Dragcast, and it is out there. And this is cool, Matt. You should check this out. You're gonna have this with all the keynotes that you do, because not only is it an awesome app built on WordPress, but it has all your favorite sound effects. Everywhere you go, you can. You can play your favorite sound effects from the Dragcast and watch all the shows. So check it out. In fact, we like it so much, I'm going to be playing sound effects off of this because my setup isn't going to work any other way. So that's how awesome this is.
It's pretty high tech.
Oh, yeah. But just for you, Matt, we're really stepping up our game today.
Well, since we're stepping up our game, let's step up our thirst. What are we sipping on?
I have got kombucha, oh, yeah, which I do believe might have a trace amount of alcohol in it.
Right, you're prepared this time. Yeah, I think you mentioned that when we were in Europe. You said, I didn't realize I had to have a drink on the show, and you were drinking water, so you had to come back to correct it.
Well, I don't know if this totally counts. This is the other thing I'm addicted to right now. Have you guys seen this before? The hints?
No.
Watermelon water? They have a few different flavors, but basically it's like essence water. It's pretty amazing, and I'm hooked on them. I drink like 5 a day now.
Gonna have to try that out. I'm hooked on acai shakes, so the acai berry, ridiculous good. But tonight I'm having a little bit of Maker's Mark. How about that?
There you go. That's how you medicate your back. So I am actually having I haven't even had this yet, a Pyramid Hef, and it's actually from Seattle. It's something that Ben so graciously let me have a drink of. So I'll be drinking a Pyramid Unfiltered Wheat Ale in my Beach Press WordPress glass. This is
That's actually a pretty awesome glass.
Yeah, this is, I don't know if you can see, but it actually does have the logo in there and a nice little Beach Press hashtag, I think. Yeah, Beach Press hashtag. It's actually a really nice glass. These are nice. I need to go to
Beach Press. Beach Press, man, I tell you, so many cool different meetups being organized these days. That one of them, there was one, some vacation down in Mexico. I don't know. There's all sorts of cool stuff going on. I think that we should get right at it, though, guys. How about, Brad, we move right into the Press and Topics of the Week.
Let's do it. App.
Man, your timing is impeccable. Press and Topics
of the Week. My timing is spot on, like it is every week.
So, Matt, we know you for many things, many awesome things that you've done and been a part of and have helped nurture and grow. One of those things, obviously, being the our preferred platform in life, WordPress, which is exciting. But that's stemmed into a great business at Automattic. And one of the big things that was announced here recently is a bit of a change in roles between with your involvement in Automattic, now actually standing as the CEO, and moving away from kind of your role, at least your formalized public role from before. So I'd like to talk about that a bit, because Tony Snyder, amazing man, very smart guy. I've had the honor to work with him on stuff in the past. Had been a really great fit, at least in my eyes, across a spectrum of things, leading the company as the CEO over the years. What led to that, and kind of where's your vision in moving forward? What changes should we expect as a community that stand behind Automattic?
Sure, and I would say Tony Snyder still is a good fit. He's still at Automattic and going strong. Main changes. I definitely won't have any time for any more WordPress podcasts.
No, don't say that. You'd have more time for podcasts.
More time for podcasts. That was one of the reasons I took the job, to have more time for podcasts. I think that it's just more of a, I'm very excited about the day-to-day aspects of running the company in the next phase. I mean, Tony joined when we were, I started talking to him when we were, you know, zero people, and joined when we were four or five. And went to like 200 and something.
Sure.
And I'm excited about taking it from 200 to 2,000 or 10,000.
Wow. That's a big company, a big remote company at that.
So that's one, that's a nice kind of forward-thinking thing, right? I want to grow the company till it's XYZ big. What are your I mean, at a high level, your visions, your go-to-forward kind of goal and strategy or thought process as CEO of Automattic?
It is largely what you've seen us do over the past 8 years. I mean, a lot of the things for Automattic are the same from the very beginning, since Tony and I started working together. It's to create great services around WordPress and, you know, put every hour and dollar we can back into the core software to create an ecosystem which is even larger than us. So the business grows, but also the larger WordPress stuff grows. Actually, yeah, that's in my head right now is that I know Elance isn't necessarily known for for a ton, but Elance has over a quarter million developers that list WordPress as their skill, which is kind of incredible when you think about it. It's the highest branded product on there that's not made by Microsoft or Adobe. So WordPress skills are highly provided and in demand on their platform.
That's amazing. Yeah, I didn't realize there were that many on there. And I think most people probably have some experience with Elance around WordPress and development, at least starting out anyways. I know I do. But going back to what you said, the monologue, so you mentioned that, you know, you did a lot of WordPress last year. And you did. You were the lead on WordPress 3.8. So we'll definitely get into that. But I'm curious, as far as the new role as CEO or, you know, going into the role, how is that going to affect your time with WordPress contributions and dev? I mean, do you think it's... is it going to allow you to do more, or is it going to kind of do less of that? You know, where do you see the future of that as far as your involvement with the actual project?
I'd definitely be up for leading another release in the future. It was a very enjoyable process, and I liked it. You know, I was happy with the outcome, and I was happy with the learning along the way. And that's one of the coolest things about the rotating lead position is that I feel like everyone who goes through it learns a ton. And, you know, obviously I've done a lot of WordPress releases in the past, and it's very different now, you know. The community and the software is always evolving, so how you interact with it has to evolve. In terms of my CEO role, it's largely many of the things I was doing before with a few additional responsibilities around, you know, the operations and et cetera of the company. But by and large, where the majority of my time and passion goes into is same in terms of building a company that I want to work at and that hopefully some other people want to work at as well, and focused on creating kind of the best user experience as possible across our products. And I still think there's a long way to go there on our mobile apps and on WordPress.com.
That's great. Yeah, and you also mentioned kind of growing the company to 2,000, to 5,000, 20,000, you know, sky's the limit. I read a great article, an interview that you did with Fast Company that came out. It was pretty interesting to talk about. I've seen mention of articles and interviews you've done in the past that you talk about kind of automatics and orthodox view on productivity and the hiring process and just the fact that you're a very large distributed company as far as distributed companies go. So I'm curious, the article had some stats which I thought were neat. So at the end of 2013, the end of last year, Automatic had 225 employees in 190 cities, which is amazing. So there's not really one condensed area where Automatic employees, I guess, exist. You know, like I guess kind of in the past, San Francisco might have been considered your hub, but that's kind of not true anymore. You know, do you think that the process you're using now will work if you get to 2,000 remote employees in that large of a distributed environment?
Yeah, I don't see any reason why it couldn't. I mean, a lot of how Automatic is built is just taking things that work in the open source world and applying them to a company. You know, why not? Like, if you kind of break down and go back to first principles, why have everyone working in a company in the same place? Especially once you get larger, and it's not like you're all in the same room or around the same table anymore. So you have some of the same, let's say you're on two floors of an office or multiple offices, like you have the same communication problems that a distributed company is going to have. Just a distributed company probably dealt with them earlier. So why do we do things? And if it's you say, well, it's because it's easy for people to communicate and collaborate, which leads to better products for end users. Well, is there a way for people to communicate and collaborate and have better end user products some other direction, or trying a different something, a different input? And that's how we think about it all. Don't see any limits to it right now. And if anything, we're doubling down on the distributed aspect. We do have a good cluster in San Francisco, you know, 15 or 20 people. And of course, Winnipeg. I hope to someday be one of the largest tech employers in Winnipeg. Maybe we are already. Who knows? But we do have we have 7-8 people in Winnipeg. I don't know why.
Wow, I didn't know that. I had no idea.
It's just
it's really neat, so because much especially awesome there.
Or nothing else to do. I don't know.
Yeah, you might as well work in tech, right? It's interesting, especially from my standpoint, and Dre's too. I mean, both of us we work with distributed companies. Our companies are distributed, obviously on a much smaller scale. We're nowhere near 200. Dre might be close to 200, but it's not. But it's great from our standpoint, because I think what you're doing kind of validates what we're doing in some aspect where, you know, even though we're on a much smaller scale, we're 18 people right now. Dre, I think you're in the 20s or 30s, correct me if I'm wrong there, but it kind of validates when people come to us, and I've noticed this in the past few years, and when we first started, I kind of hesitated to tell people that we were distributed because I felt like there's a certain stigma with that. They wanted brick and mortars. They wanted people to come to their office. They didn't realize you could do work remotely and good work. And now I don't hesitate at all, and I never actually – nobody really thinks twice when I tell them. They're like, oh, okay, you're distributed. And I feel like Automatic and some other companies like yours and like your side have kind of paved that road to make it more of an acceptable business model, especially in the tech industry.
You just made my day. Thank you.
Yeah,
I definitely see you at the forefront, at least in the WordPress kind of world for sure. But even beyond that, I think that as internet companies, as web companies, it's a little bit easier, especially when we're starting out that way. And I think you noted to that, Matt. When you get into larger companies, I've seen some of the organizations here in Southern California which just don't think that way. They weren't built that way. So introducing that's like, well, wait a second, you're not going to be here. I don't have eyes on you. That doesn't make sense. But in turn, it actually creates an environment where people are more productive. They get more hours in the day, especially in Southern California where people are commuting an hour and 2 hours each way. Mm-hmm. They're in fact at home, relaxed, and getting more time on the clock, which in turn yeah. bodes pretty well for business. So the harsh reality that they're facing is that it works. Why not embrace it and build around it? So I commend you on building it, and I hope you're at 2,000-4,000 employees telecommuting here sometime soon.
Yeah, and that's absolutely. Always been a goal with Automatic is like I said, to not just create a great company, but to create a great company that can set an example for everyone else in the WordPress ecosystem. Like, the idea is that anything we do, we should expect that everyone else would do. And so what happens if you take that to its logical conclusion?
Well, I think that that comes from the top down. We saw it, at least for my opinion anyway, we saw that at WordPress 3.8, you noted that it came out and was released, on time it was released, where we expected it to be released. And that showed, I think, the leadership of your leadership, making sure that got through where it needed to be. And we really got that out to market in a way that made sense when we said it was going to get out. What was it like leading that again? I mean, this is a bit far removed from when you first kind of set out developing WordPress. How did it feel going back to leading, directly leading 3.8?
It had its pluses and minuses. I would say that it was really great to be able to work with some directly on a more day-to-day basis with a lot of folks who I haven't had a chance to before. And it was incredibly rewarding to see particularly the MP6 project, be there for the world. So you guys know, it's something that was kind of a personal mission of mine for much longer than the 3.8 cycle to get out there. And it had its ups and downs and roadblocks and things. And so finally getting that out was really cool. The frustration, I think, is just that as disaggregated as WordPress development is, and as hairy as, track is, and there's so many open tickets, and there's difference. Within a company, you can kind of take for granted that you're all sort of working towards the same thing. And sometimes in the open source project, I think sometimes people are working towards very different things. And so resolving that, you fundamentally have some differences of direction and differences of opinion that aren't necessarily going to be resolved. And so that is something that I hadn't worked with for a while and had forgotten about. So it definitely takes a bit more patience and grace and fortitude to make it through that.
Well, and I think there were some fundamental changes to the approach in terms of how things are developed now and added to core, maybe not directly, approach of plugin development versus patches. How do you think that influenced the cycle, and how do you think that's working out overall?
I hope it had a good influence on the cycle, and I think that we'll see a lot more of that in the future. I think a lot of it is just, as the community for WordPress gets larger and larger, we have to decide what's most important to us. One thing that comes to mind is there was a keyboard accessibility thing that had slipped through into the last minute, and in theory could or should have made, we shouldn't have shipped WordPress 3.8 with it. And that was an interesting episode that I think was stressful for everyone involved, because A, it was disappointing for everyone who had been working on it to ship with a known bug, right? No one ever wants to ship with a known bug. But at the point that we started making changes, hours before the release, we're taking the risk of introducing another problem.
Certainly.
Which then could create more bugs. It's an unknown unknown, right? You don't know what instabilities you're introducing to the system. And so we ended up shipping with things that some people in the community considered blockers, meaning that WordPress should not have been released. And so I actually expected that 3.8.1 would have a really strong push and come out relatively soon after 3.8. But for whatever reason, after the release, people, the urgency of those issues kind of went away. And I'm not sure why. And then the 0.1 release came out a bit over a month later. And I think it was really just a function of that we need to create a prioritization for the things that are most important to us, because everything can't be equally important. It doesn't mean that we don't believe in, pick your topic, graceful degradation of JavaScript, or accessibility, or internationalization, or, responsive design, or mobile, or, working on IE7, or any number of these different things, but they can't all be equally important. because yeah, there's a finite amount of time.
Do you think because WordPress 3.7 and 3.8 were different in a couple different ways from previous releases, one being the plugin versus kind of traditional patch method of contributing, the second being the quick timelines, and also just that they were developed kind of parallel to each other. And you announced it at the State of the Word this year, or last year, I guess now. What year is this? I don't even know. But the last State of the Word that you gave, you announced that they would be kind of going in parallel. So you were working on kind of ramping up 3.8 as 3.7 was happening. Do you think doing that many different changes, or at least the two main changes of kind of the parallel development and the plugin over patches, maybe contributed to things being overlooked? Or do you think that was just, it would have probably happened anyway, and it just was kind of how it panned out?
Yeah, well, no one in the world has figured out how to do bug-free software yet, right? So I think it's best to build a process that assumes there will be bugs, have a way to triage those, and sort of focus on iteration, right? Because there'll always be something. Like, let's say, you know, hopefully we don't make the same mistake. So, like, next time we check for everything that was a bug in 3.8, or that'll be a bug in 3.9. So in 4.0, we've checked all those boxes and gone through the checklist. There'll be something else. It is entirely inevitable. You know, something that slipped through the crack before, or something that we've ignored for a year or two and now is all of a sudden important because of some new reason or change in the environment. So I think that, I mean, the main thing is just that it's learning by doing. And the more people that get involved in the release process, the more people that learn. And I think the better that we'll adapt and evolve in the future. So, I mean, one of the things I thought was great about 3.7 and 3.8, that sort of last 4 months of the year, was how many folks who hadn't been involved with WordPress before were getting involved.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that goes back to kind of the plugin over patch, because like you said, Track is pretty intimidating, and even for advanced devs or really anyone, in my opinion, Track is intimidating. It's a bit clunky to get through. If you're not in Track every day, it can be hard to kind of work your way around Track. You know, the whole idea of patches and working through comments and a history on these tickets, it's a bit tough if you're not super familiar with it. It's not something you're doing every day. Like you said, if it's a new person coming in and wants to contribute, and they go into Track and there's 1,000 tickets and they don't really understand how to filter the tickets or what they're looking at or what they should be focusing on versus, hey, build a plugin with what you want to do. Well, most devs, that's one of the first things they learn in WordPress is I want to build a plugin because I want to build some cool stuff. And so they're like, I can do a plugin. So they do a plugin and then say, hey, what about getting this thing core? So I love the idea of plugins. You know, plugins versus patches. And obviously there's still patches going on, but the main showcase features of releases seem to be kind of going the plugin route. Do you think that's here to stay going forward with the development of WordPress?
I think that, you know, and it's not to say that the patches don't matter anymore. I mean, there are obviously a ton of patches in both releases and will be in the future. I just think it gives people a bit more autonomy and freedom to experiment, especially when commit is, you know, a number which is 1/10 or 1/100 number of people who are active in WordPress at any given time in both core and plugins, right? So that'll always be a bottleneck. So the more we can do to kind of push authority and autonomy down, the better. But, I mean, even now for the 3.9 release, there's over 250 tickets open for that release. And there's just a lot going on in Track. And it's kind of gotten away from us just into thousands and thousands of things that are unresolved there.
I got one question from the crowd here I want to throw at you there, Matt, if you don't mind. The sure. Question is coming from Mr. Kyle Maurer. What are examples of features you released that you were really excited about, but the community didn't appreciate as much as you expected?
Probably the one that I was most excited about that maybe the world didn't take notice of is revisions, you know, when we put revisions into WordPress. I think that's... I'm incredibly proud of it, and like I think it's speaks to WordPress's aspirations to be a content management system for decades to come. You know, storing every version of everything on there is to that. But I think the world didn't, you know, take notice of it. But that was a long time ago too.
Yeah, what versions? Or I'm trying to think back what version revisions were introduced. Do you know off the top of your head? I want to say it's like early 3.something. I could be way off, but
I'm pretty sure it was earlier than that. Maybe someone The chat room will know.
Pop quiz, chat room. What version?
The revamp was a 3. something.
Like 2.9. Yeah, that's a good one. I can't remember what version that was in.
Yeah, actually, when we put the database stuff in.
First person to give me that, I will get them a T-shirt of the show, a Dragcast T-shirt. So go find out what version revisions were introduced into WordPress. I like that.
Yeah. It's also worth noting in terms of track that there's been a ton of iterations on it in the past month or two that have been really cool at making, well, the entire make section, I think, a lot friendlier and more inviting to folks who are new to it.
Love it. Talk to me a bit through, at just a high level if you choose, but MP6. I love what MP6 has
done.
What's
the stand for, Matt? You can tell us.
It's yeah, come on, man.
It's over. It's out the door. You can tell us.
I'm sworn to secrecy.
Look, no one's listening anyway. You're good.
Nobody watches us. Come on.
Only myself and Matt Thomas know. So.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, man.
That whole process, and you mentioned it in the intro, man, super cool. Talk to us a bit about that. If since you can't tell us what it stands for, can you at least overview the history behind it and where you see it going beyond where it is today?
I'm very excited about getting more designers involved in WordPress, especially the core process.
Yes.
And we had a weird thing actually in 3.8 where with some of the plugins, we had more designers than we had developers. It actually went sort of lopsided for a period of time there. And and so that was, you know, a whole issue where sometimes like the usability of something would be on track and like the design, but the code wasn't quite there yet. So we had kind of the reverse of the normal problem we have. So that's something that I will always be advocating for. And I think that we can take more of a design first methodology with almost everything we do. And I really don't see any downsides. The difficulty is going to be that design is probably the hardest thing to do in open source, and why most open source projects typically have poor design. Because design by committee.
MP6 had a lot of challenges initially, right? With the kind of just community design, like you said, is a huge challenge. When you have 100 people, 200, 300, 3,000 with their own ideas of what looks best, right?
You don't even need that. Maybe you just need one. But if that person is someone who has sort of veto power, then they're kind of SOL. So you really have to, I think, foster design thinking in the entirety of the process. You have to advocate some responsibility and say, give an authority for the design and say, we're just going to follow that. Like, not everyone is going to like it. In fact, some people will have some very good objections to it. But there's only so much you can water down before you get something becomes very generic, uninspiring, and loses its soul. So you kind of have to break a few eggs, I think, to really push the design threshold. And that'll be interesting how it goes. And that's true even if there's all designers involved. Like, if there's 5 designers, they're going to disagree on things. You just have to go with one of them. And the truth is that, honestly, going with one of them is probably better than going with none of them or mixing the whole thing up in some sort of, like, you know, stew.
Well, I think that's a – I mean – I think I speak for a lot of people that says it really is a huge success seeing MP6 finally rolled in. I mean, it got to the point where I was so excited for the new version to come out because it's like every install I had it on there, and then every once in a while I'd log into a site that didn't have it, and I got so used to it, it's just like, oh my God, this needs to go into because I can't deal with this. So now that's out there. Just like you said, it was needed. It kept WordPress admin from getting stale. It kind of freshened it up, made it exciting again, and just fun to work with. It just feels faster looking at it. I don't know. It's
visual. It feels faster to me. Well, and I think the key and the challenge for the whole WordPress community is, you know, MP6 took the better part of a year from the time it was started to the time it got in, and, you know, better part of 9 months before it was largely what it looked like it would shipped. Mm-hmm. And of course there's a ton of things that happened in that interim, but how can we make the next MP6 happen in 3 months and then ship it and do the work that happened previously unreleased and ship it? Because really the name of the game is getting the improvements to WordPress users as quickly as possible, even if it's not perfect, as long as it's better.
Oh, it's definitely better. Dre, where are we going from here, man? Dre's not going anywhere.
I'm missing Dre's video, too. Like, Where's your mug?
Dre's not giving us any mug love today. I think he's done up from being at the getting his back with that together. There he is. You with us there, buddy?
Yeah, I apologize. I'm having a tough day, man. The whole back thing just threw me for a loop. But
Sorry.
No, not anybody's fault but my own. That's what happens when you get old and you get on the jiu-jitsu mat one too many days a week.
You're an old man, a young man's game.
I just turned 30, so I've been.
Yeah, I was gonna say, speaking of old, that's a great segue. Hey,
You turned 30. You turned 30. If I'm not mistaken, I'm not weird. January 11th, right?
Yep, 1/1/1.
All right, so it's my wedding anniversary. So it's kind of one of those things. I'm like, hey, it's Matt's birthday today. I wake up and give my wife roses. Kind of weird. Oh, man. Well, I went and got another beer. I'm actually drinking a Newcastle Cabbie. It's their black ale, and I got this because I want to walk into the tavern. I want to talk about WP Tavern a little bit. So we've had some difficulties sustaining any kind of news source around WordPress over the years. And last year, I don't know exactly when the sale went down, but last year it was relaunched.
Quite a bit before that. It was just announced last year.
Certainly. It was announced that you had purchased WP Tavern, and it's back in full force. It's amazing to see the vibrant kind of growth there. I see a lot of awesome articles and discussion. Where'd that stem from? What made you decide to go and buy WP Tavern?
Yeah, and I also got Weblog's tool collection, which is we decided to put that
in the archive mode.
Why? I'd always been a fan. You know, I do a lot of press, and I'd always been a fan of talking to Jeff because I felt like he had a lot of history and sort of like solvent-like knowledge of the inner workings of WordPress. So it was one of those things where doing an interview with him, I always felt more challenged than even talking to like CNN or the New York Times.
Jeff asked the hard-hitting questions. I would see Jeff at WordCamps, and he'd always like it'd always be like him pulling you to the corner, like away from everybody, with a mic in your face, asking you questions. I've seen him do that multiple times at multiple camps. It's great.
So I felt like the raw material was there to have just a really great journalistic experience for WordPress, which felt like hadn't happened before or had happened just sporadically. Like it would happen, but it would fizzle out. So basically, I just want to see, I think our community deserves that. And I'm, you know, happy to be able to support those guys, Sarah and Jeff, and, you know, Scott and Otto and Nathan, everyone who helps them out as well. In creating that.
I love it. So what are, as far as the tavern, because it's, you know, it's, it's a special place in my heart too with the tavern, because I feel like when Jeff launched the tavern, him and I were pretty good friends online, and we both really got into WordPress together, right around the same time pretty much. We were kind of really getting into WordPress, playing around with it, helping each other learn it. When he fired up the WordPress Weekly podcast, I was on the first few episodes with him, even though I had no idea what the hell I was talking about. But you should; those are great episodes. If anybody wants to listen to those, they're terrible. It's always got a special place in my heart. So I was really excited to see that it survived when there were definitely times where I thought it was not going to and it was going to be taken down. So, you know, what is the goal? Just to, like Dre mentioned, kind of having this place where news is sustainable and we don't have to worry about it kind of just disappearing one day because either somebody loses interest or they're not making enough money or.
Well, news has never been sustainable, I mean, for hundreds of years now. Newspapers were subsidized by comics and real estate ads and classifieds and, you know, lots of other things that really had nothing to do with the news. So I think that this is just kind of the latest iteration that you get sort of patron-driven journalistic enterprises that I think honestly can avoid many of the downfalls of kind of the more traditional sponsor or advertising-driven model.
So the question that everybody really wants to know is why you haven't purchased Dradcast. Why are Brad and I not under contract yet?
I heard you guys were going for 2x WhatsApp, and so it was just a little bit out of my range.
Yeah, oh, fair enough.
Ooh, we are, yeah. I don't want to throw the B word around, but we are.
Oh, Man,
that's great. No, that's really cool. And they've been, you're right, hats off to that whole team over there, because they're really pumping out some great content. So it's great to see it back on the map and really being a part of the WordPress ecosystem with the commentary and articles they're putting out. It's just really quality stuff. So
hats off to that. Also, it's, you know, we're also trying to support other publications as well. So Automattic will continue to sponsor lots of other things around the WordPress community.
We need it. We deserve it. And that's exciting to hear, because I love to hear the whole journalistic thing grow from within like that. Very good to see. Other things that have grown out of WordPress, maybe not so internally or maybe not so much as part of our overall overarching community, is something named Ghost. Have you installed it? Have you tested it? Have you played with it? And what do you think?
I haven't played around with the latest version. I think it's always fun to start from scratch, and I don't think that I could personally use Ghost for many of the things or any of the sites I have. There's just functionality that I need that's not represented in the software yet. And I do think the choice of platform, there's still a lot of confusion around there, because Ghost started, I still get people asking me today, oh, Ghost is like built on WordPress, right? Because of their initial they initially were, and they had a quote from me on the homepage for a long time, so people kind of got it mixed up. But I like it. I think that the more CMS is, the better. And if there's any great ideas or approaches in it, there's always something that could be adapted in the WordPress community.
Yeah, I think it's definitely interesting. We've been following along with it, and a lot of the WordPress community has. And a lot of the WordPress community actually kind of contributed to the crowdfunding project for it. I think, in my opinion, the most interesting part, I want to see where they're at in a year or two, because I feel like at some point, just like as WordPress started off, and you started WordPress, you and Mike Little, I mean, you wanted to build the best blogging platform at the time, right? That was the goal of WordPress. And that sounds like kind of similar to the goal of Ghost right now. But at some point, you're not just going to get to a point where you kind of stop developing and stop iterating and adding new features. You know, you can't just say, all right, this is it, it's done. People are always going to want more. So they're going to get to a point where they have to make a decision, right? Are we only going to stay blogging, or are we going to kind of jump that gap to over to the CMS like WordPress kind of did when we got to custom post types and really kind of the flexibility that we see in WordPress today? So I'm really curious to see where it's at in a few years when they hit that mark like WordPress did, and see if they decide to truly stay with what they're saying they want to do, because they're really kind of adamant about being blogging and only blogging. That's all it will ever be, based on the content on their site. So
you think they might not be able to stay true to that? They'll have to do more?
That's what I'm saying. Like, do you think that's possible? Because in my opinion, I think that's a hard play. And I think if they did try to stay firm on that, it would eventually just get forked, because people would say, look, we want to keep using this, but like you said, it doesn't have some of the feature set that you need. And if you're not going to do it, then I'm going to fork it and I'll do it. You know, so is it possible to do something like that in an open source world, to really kind of stick to your guns on something like that, as far as this will be blogging and only blogging?
Sure, it's absolutely possible to do. I think the larger question is whether doing so limits your growth or your audience. Mm. I mean, WordPress's goal has never necessarily been a finite set of features or anything like that. It's to democratize publishing. And I've been sort of playing around with adding something to that, actually, two more words. So to democratize publishing and development. That's broad, and it can encompass a number of features down the line. It could also mean us shedding some of the things we do today. Just as, you know, there's things that were in WordPress 5 years ago, like Link Manager, that are de-emphasized or gone today. So that's, I think of it more in user terms, necessarily, than saying we're just a blog, or just a CMS, or we're just an app platform, or anything like that. Where the people go, we will go.
Yeah, and I think having an overall vision makes sense. I don't know what the overall vision or kind of end game is for Ghost. If it's truly just a blogging platform, I think that audience over time will be very limited. They're going to be overwhelmed with whatever growth they do garner. They're going to be overwhelmed with a lot of feature requests and people maybe wanting a little bit more here and there. I think it's typical as the audience grows, how they handle that and how they sustain their kind of direction is yet to be determined, I think. We'll have to wait and see where it ends up a year or two down the road.
But it's always great to have more people working on the publishing space. I think that, you know, you just get a diversity of ideas and approaches.
Well, it's like anything. I have an idea, I put it out to market, and when competitors come to the landscape, it's certainly validating, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's open source. I mean, we're all on the same team, even though we like to joke about Drupal and other platforms. You know, at the end of the day, we're all on the same team, and we're kind of going for the same goals. So I think it's an interesting platform. I personally have not played with it, but I know a lot of people have, and it definitely is something we want to keep an eye on for sure, see where it goes.
You will be the Patrick Swayze of ghost.org, my friend. with that said, open source. Yeah, I have no idea.
Open the metric kicking in, right?
They are. Man, open source. So, in terms of open source, Ghost was crowdfunding, like we said, largely part by a lot of the community WordPress community members. What are your thoughts, overall thoughts on crowdfunding open source projects?
That's a good question. I think that crowdfunding is better. It's more of a sprint than a marathon, right? So, the vast majority, I think that. You know, releasing something in open source is like an iceberg, right? Like the part that's above the surface, the most visible, is actually only about 5% of the work. I mean, the rest of it is the support and the ongoing development and the iterations and everything else that doesn't necessarily lend itself to a crowdfunding model, which is more like spiky. You know, let's get a lot of people to do a thing and then we're done.
Yeah, and I think. Because I've seen you publicly, you've contributed to some of the projects, and some of the stuff I've seen, not necessarily with anything you've done or I've done, but I've seen other people where I feel like some of the information that's put out there is a bit vague to the extent where something might seem a little more open source than it really is around the project, and a bunch of people donate, and then they come out with more details around licensing and stuff, and it's like, whoa, what do you know, that's not really what I signed up for. So
yeah.
Which is definitely something people really need to think about. If you're you know, investing in a crowdsourced project, make sure you really understand that. And if you don't, you know, ask the questions. If they don't mention, hey, what license is this? Open source? How are you going to release this? You know, ask those questions so that they can, you know, make them be transparent. If they're not, and maybe it's just something they haven't thought of, or just something they didn't think to put on the site. Maybe just slip their mind. Obviously, there's a lot going on with crowdsourcing that you have to think about, but. I have seen that happen with a few projects where it was a little bit misrepresented.
Yeah, I do that with all my investments, actually, including the Audrey ones. Like, if they're not open source, I ask them, I want to know, at least. I'm not saying they all should be, but I want to know what their path is. Mm-hmm. And I don't want them to tell me we're going to be open source just to, like, because I like it. I actually really want to, I'm curious, like, how they think about it.
Very cool. So I want to ask about the big, we talk about 3.0. Your birthday, but I want to ask you about 4.0, and I'm talking about WordPress 4.0. So we know WordPress is just a number; it's just a number. It's not a big deal, but it's got to be a big deal, right, man? It's 4.0. Something really cool has to happen to this version. I'm not putting any pressure on anyone working on it, but it has to happen. What? Any insight? Any ideas? Are there any pet projects that you might like to focus on around the 4.0 release?
Anything nothing to disclose right now.
I think 4.0 would be a great multi-site release, in my opinion. I know Nason's been
really?
Talking about doing it. I feel like multi-site is great, but I would really love to see a whole release focused on multi-site, because I feel like it's such a huge component. So many people are using it now. Such large networks that it could really use its own kind of release. I would love to see something like that around 4.0.
Well, we've always talked about the simplification for users, right? And I think that WYSIWYG would be an amazing, amazing thing to really, really crush with 4.0. I know overall, numbers really don't matter, at least to the project, or at least overall in the discussion when WordPress comes to play. But externally, I mean, we know that 4.0 will be something that people have large expectations for outside of the community in general. Would you agree with that?
You can't help it, right? Like, people get attached to numbers.
Sure. Well, that was easy.
I can tell you something about 4.0.
Do it.
You sure you guys are ready?
We're ready.
You say it's coming after 3.9, Matt. I'm hanging up.
We're just going to keep adding 9. So it'll be 3.9, 3.99, 3.999. Wow. I mean, 4.0 is currently scheduled for August 12th. As a release. So, I mean, if WYSIWYG stuff is ready by August 12th, or really by, you know, a month and a half before August 12th, then yeah, that'll be in there. If widgets are ready, that'll be in there. Menus and multi-site, that'll be in there. I think the key, and it's important for the core WordPress community to understand, is that it's really, I mean, if there's something you want in that release. Start working on it now.
So, well, and I agree. Let's get it in play now, because waiting until a few weeks before is probably not a good idea. Multi-site, I think multi-site would be amazing. I think one of the discussion points here in the chat is native domain mapping. That'd be kind of interesting to see.
Yeah. It's actually something we looked at in the 3.8 cycle as well. Nason posted a pretty comprehensive treatise on both multi-site and domain mapping. So anyone who's interested in that area, there's a pretty good roadmap out there.
There's been some, to the chat room, we're definitely tracking your questions, but if we don't ask them, just ask them again, because it's going by quick, so we're trying to grab them. But there's been a couple mentions and questions around JavaScript, especially around the core of WordPress. And obviously in the last, you know, four, five, six releases, we've seen a lot more JavaScript going into the core. A lot of backbone. I mean, do you really, if someone was kind of coming into WordPress new as a developer or someone that wanted to get involved, I mean, do you think, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, I think you might have even said it, and I've heard you say it, but is JavaScript the future of WordPress? I mean, are we going to see less and less kind of PHP going in the core and more JavaScript as the platform grows?
Yeah, and I think that's just one of those things that maybe I called too early. I mean, in 2009, I was talking about the majority of code of WordPress. Majority of code in WordPress being JavaScript. And, you know, over the past few years, it's been a shift and shift. And if you look at most of the major new features that come in, they're really driven by JavaScript. And I would say that JavaScript hacking is the most needed skill in core WordPress right now. And for those of you who are developers listening along, like, the number one thing that you could work on is learning more JavaScript. So.
Yeah, and we're definitely starting. 2009 was certainly early in the WordPress world for that. But I mean, we're even now, like, I feel like we're starting to really see some really cool JavaScript coming out in themes, like based on Backbone and things like that. But it's still it's few and far between. I've only seen a handful of ones that were decent. But I think people are starting to realize, like, this isn't going away. This is something they need to kind of take hold of and learn and use, because it is powerful and it is really cool. So I think it's kind of getting to that point, like you said, where people are starting to open their eyes and realize, all right, maybe they put off getting into the meat of JavaScript long enough, and maybe it's time to kind of dive in and really, really start doing it. Interesting that you note that that's really one of the most needed contributions currently is, you know, some people that can work JavaScript really well.
Totally.
Well, I'd like to get into a couple other pretty interesting topics, and I think very important for WordPress in general. And then I'd like to talk about some of the products and stuff that Automattic is engaged with. First, I want to kind of talk about the Velo Media acquisition of CrowdFavorite. CrowdFavorite being one of the firms that's been around since the beginning with some heavy-hitting names that did early contributions into the early versions of WordPress. For me, it's showing a sense of maturity in the space or in the WordPress kind of world ecosystem. What are your thoughts around that acquisition and that play? I mean, it's certainly growing and thriving.
I think that it's going to be natural that there'll be some more consolidation in the services side of WordPress. And I'm excited to see firms start to grow, because I do think there is a demand for, you know, pretty advanced and large, very advanced WordPress development and larger projects. I'm sure, Brad, you're seeing a lot of this. And so I think that's going to support bigger and more robust organizations in that sort of consulting world. I mean, a lot of it is that WordPress gets people to the start line, but they need help to, you know, run the race. And there's a lot of great developers in our community, and I think especially our focus on education is going to pay back down the line 2, 4, 8 years down the road. And I hope that we can have one of the most diverse and robust developer ecosystems, just like we currently have, you know, as a core community.
Yeah, I think, and Dre and I talked about it when the news was first announced. I think it's really kind of showing the maturity in that sector of the kind of the agency and development companies around WordPress. They're growing. You know, a few years ago, most of the companies were, you know, if you had five people, that was a big company. That was, if it was a 100% WordPress agency. Now, you know, we're seeing 50, 60, 70 plus agencies that are solely dedicated to WordPress development.
I call baloney. They either work for WDS 10 up or CrowdFavorite these days.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Maybe. Oh, yeah, man. But it is. It's starting to show the maturity around the, you know, the business side of this and really building cool things. And also just the maturity of the companies coming to look for WordPress work. There's a lot of enterprise work out there. A lot of big, I mean, Fortune 150, 150, whatever companies that they're like, we want WordPress. We know we want WordPress now.
Oh, look, we're just at the tip of the iceberg. In terms of enterprise play for WordPress, we're just at the tip of the iceberg. I'm not talking just external usage, but I'm talking the centralization of content development, right, or a place to actually spread that all out, but decentralized creation through the business units and divisions within large organizations. It's a huge win with WordPress, and it's challenging to get them to buy in on that yet, and they're just starting to see the value around open source and how to maintain that, how to manage that, how to bring outside sources, not the corresponding vendor that created it, like a Microsoft, right? I think there's a huge win there, and we've got a long way to go, but we're going to see some exciting things there.
So the chat room really wants to know about O2. 20202, and there was I think Bo gave the presentation at WordCamp San Fran last year around O2.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody is very excited, and it hasn't come out yet, so everyone's very curious. There's talk of maybe a closed list beta happening soon. Any indication of when that something might come out where people can start playing around with it and really using it?
There are people using O2 outside of Automattic, and I would say, you know, if you can get in touch on the site, which domain is escaping me at the moment. There'll be more of that in the future. I think that O2 has entered the point where the theme and the functionality is done. But really, what makes O2 interesting, particularly how we've used it, is in the network functionality. So the things that really have nothing to do with the theme. So it's probably wrong to think of O2 as a replacement for P2. Because just as a theme, it does modernize a lot of things and has a cool approach. But it's really about a network of blogs and a way of working. And so you're starting to see that reflected in some releases we've done on WordPress.com and Jetpack, like the Markdown support. That's now in Jetpack as well, I believe, in the latest version. Sometimes I forget what's actually out because we start testing things so far ahead that I just sort of assume everything's out there and forget like we're living 6 months or a year in the future.
Oh, shoot.
But
really, if you look at mentions, cross-site search, cross-site tagging, when you think of how if you have hundreds of O2s and hundreds of people on them, how permissions should and can work across that, how you keep up with them all, how you follow things, how you read things. That's really the phase that the team is in right now, figuring all those problems out. And some of that will reflect, like some of the things we build for O2, I think will be features that launch for all of WordPress.com. It's, again, one of those things that we built a lot of these tools for ourselves, and they aren't available to the larger community. So that is where the next phase is and where the team is focused right now.
And that website, just for anyone listening, is geto2, that's number2.com. And there is a form on there, so if you're interested, I would highly suggest, as Matt said, that you go there and drop your information for them. Maybe you'll get a beta invite.
Yeah.
We have another great question from Bert in the room. Wants to talk about WordPress in the government sector. And as most of us know, Drupal has some pretty big traction in the government, specifically the U.S. government. As far as a platform, the open source platform that it seems like they generally lean towards. It may not, you know, there. Who knows what's happening behind the scenes, but as far as the public sites, now there are some WordPress sites, so I feel like WordPress is starting to kind of creep into the government, but what, you know, what can we do, or is there any effort to try to really make a push to really get the government to take traction with WordPress and really look at it as an equal competitor to Drupal?
Yeah, I guess we could vote, right? Like,
WordPress.
Set up like a... We've got enough developers, right? Like, take a 250,000, 500,000 people, make that some sort of swing vote in different districts. I think that government is challenging. Government IT is challenging, right? We saw that with healthcare.gov and, you know, the cost involved with everything. I mean, WordPress is agile software that's typically adopted from the bottom up, that does just what it needs to do and then gets out of your way. You know, many of our philosophies and the way we approach things and the way that you guys sell WordPress doesn't lend itself to a ton of government adoption. Now, two things are getting better. I think WordPress is getting better, and I think that the firms that are working with the government, including Automattic, you know, has a full-time person dedicated to this, will help us be adopted. And I also think government is getting better. You know, the way that they purchase things and the way they adopt software. I mean, even in just the past 5 years has come a very, very long way. And I think there's momentum for that to do more. So as some of these rules modernize, is probably the best way to put it, I think it'll be easier for firms, I'll say web dev, since you know, Brad, you're here, to get some
of
projects that right now are going to, you know, ginormous monoliths like CGI in Canada, which was in charge of healthcare, and like go, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars goes to these companies that just aren't good at development. but they're parked there, you know, they're approved, and it's easy to give them money for a variety of reasons. So.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, one of the biggest challenges of government, in my experience, is just getting that foot in the door. There's a lot of hoops and paperwork, and especially, Dre, you know, I'm being, both of us being prior military, the amount of paperwork you have to fill out
on any
given day is about as stupid as it gets. but that has nothing to do with even purchasing, so it's wild. But I think it's cool, and I think we all agree we want to see a lot more WordPress in government. So we're doing what we can, and we're glad to hear that you're doing what we can as well. So I think you're right. We're making strides, and I expected to see a lot more sites in government sector launch over the next few years.
If anyone's interested in this as well, I encourage you to get in touch with Peter Slutsky, who's at Automattic. Google him, and his information's out there. I'll drop his name in the chat.
Ooh. So recently, and when I say you, Automattic, sent out some pretty strong signals that you really care about democratizing publishing, which, and not that you haven't said that about a million times, how this is where we're really going. In fact, adding even a couple words into that, democratizing development. But you guys recently filed two lawsuits against DMCA abuse on WordPress.com. Wow, that's pretty cool, one. And where do you think that goes for the bigger kind of world of publishing in terms of the community? How do we look at supporting bloggers in other countries, maybe like Vietnam and China down the road, where governments are cracking down on free internet expression?
Yeah, and this is just another example that pretty much everything cool that Automattic does is a result of the team and, you know, the great people we brought around the table. So Paul Siminski. We're actually, this very minute, I'm late for we're hosting a patent happy hour with the EFF. It's kind of an anti-patent happy hour, actually, but it's called patent happy hour.
We're keeping you from drinking. That's like anti-drat.
I know, it's fine. It's very aligned with what we believe in. I can't imagine a scenario where we wouldn't go to bat for one of our users or associates that's being bullied from a legal point of view. It's something that we've also done quietly with, you know, some people in the WordPress community when they've gotten, you know, sort of pushed, people try to push them around. We try to stick up for them. And to the extent we can continue to be successful and use our resources in that regard, we're going to.
And that's,
I encourage every other company in this space to do the same.
Yeah, I think that speaks really highly of what your goals are, what you're doing, and that you're not just talk. You're putting your money and your actions where your mouth is. So it's I think it's amazing and awesome, and I'm glad to see Automattic stepping up and doing that.
Well, I think it speaks for your character, Automattics, and the community in general. We need to keep and continue to support and defend each other, and I think that we'll be just fine. Watching this thing grow, like we said it on episode 007, Matt, when you were here, is amazing, and I think that we're going to be very strong in our growth over the years to come. I'd like to move into, Brad, if we've got a moment here, let's move into Bar Tricks.
Let me show you a bar trick.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's terrible. Well, I've got a quick bar trick. It's another shameless promotion that I pretty much do every episode here. In fact, Security actually dropped the SiteCheck Chrome extension this week, so now you can have us in your little cool toolbar, and you can scan any site you go visit to make sure if they're infected or blacklisted, you get a warning right away, and you can direct folks to go get their stuff cleaned up. So go check that out. We'll drop a link in the show notes.
Yeah, you got a bar trick, fun plugin, cool article, video, anything you want to share?
Are you stalling?
Yes, he is.
As he looks in the chat room, I'm asking people for a bar trick.
Oh, shoot.
Man, I just got called out by Matt. That's awesome.
That's okay. I would say that... I would say the coolest bar trick, for those of you who haven't tried it, you know, we got a very tech-savvy crowd here. I and many other people love writing things in Markdown. I mentioned it earlier, but the latest version of Jetpack has some really slick Markdown integration. And so check that out. The coolest stuff, though, I wish I could... there's also an ability in the latest Jetpack to log into your site with your WordPress.com credentials. I know you're probably thinking... why do I care? But it's nice because it allows you to securely have the same login for multiple sites. And two, as a bonus, if you turn on your two-factor authentication on your site, which has gotten pretty slick on .com now, you know, so you can two-factor auth with SMS or the app, so it works even offline. Now all of your sites will be protected from that.
Very good.
That is very cool. So I have a bar trick, and it's completely stupid, but I like it. So it's basically a little piece of JavaScript. You talk a lot about JavaScript, so why not a little JavaScript snippet, right? So I'm going to drop a gist in the chat, and we'll have it in the show notes. But it's as simple as making a bookmark with this piece of JavaScript. And when you run it, I think the original name of the script was called Kickass. When you run it, all it does is make a little spaceship in your browser, and you can fly around the page and blow up little elements on whatever site you happen to be on. So if you're ever like really stuck on some code or a bad bug or having problems with the design you're working on, it's kind of fun. Just click the kick-ass button and you can fly around the screen and blow up all sorts of stuff on the page. Of course, it's not actually doing anything. It's just JavaScript. If you refresh, everything's back. But it's fun. It's silly, and I enjoy doing it from time to time. So I'll drop that in the chat so everybody can check it out.
Outstanding. Well, we've got a few events coming up. In fact, I just the Drag Cash is going to be appearing at WordCamp Miami come this May 9th and 10th. So come join us there. Plenty of WordCamps coming up that you should come be a part of. You should come put in your speaker submissions. Come be part of the crowd. Come learn. Come sponsor. If you go over to WordCamp. WordCamp.org, you can go find any WordCamp that's coming up on the schedule that's already been announced. WordCamp Philly's coming up June 7th and 8th. Pressnomics has been announced. No, it hasn't been announced, Pressnomics 3, but a venue has been secured. They threw out a teaser, so we should be getting some more info on that here soon. A cool event coming up is WP Think Tank, a panel discussion about the future of WordPress, coming up live Tuesday, February 25th at 8 p.m. UTC, WPThinkTank.com. So go check that out, day of event. Matt, it has been awesome. Episode 033, where can people find you? Not like they don't know already.
At Photomat is my Twitter, and ma.tt is blog, and matt.wordpress.com is my moblog.
All right. Well, Mr. Brad, what's up with you, brother? Where can we find you?
You can find me in Seattle. Twitter, WilliamsBA.
I love it. Drayless in Seattle. Matt, thanks again, bud. I appreciate it. I hope to
thanks,
see you
Matt.
Here soon.
Great.
I'm at Dre Maida on Twitter. I'm the doctor, and this is Rad. This is DragCast, episode 333. Let's rock and roll. We'll see you soon. We're out.
Booyah. There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the DragCast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the DragCast website at DragCast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes. Don't forget to follow at DragCast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in. Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week on another episode of the DragCast.